You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99. My name is Noam Dorman. I'm the owner of The Comedy Cellar. We're here at the back table. I'm here with Mr. Dan Natterman, as always, who's clearly has a lot to talk about today. We have our guests... Chrissy Mayer is, I say that right?
Yes, you nailed it on the first
try. Is a New York City-based stand-up comedian originally from Long Island. That's quite, your intros are just getting better and better. Originally from Long Island, she hosts the show Comedy Stonewall, a monthly show at the legendary Stonewall Inn. Stonewall Inn, it's called?
Yeah, the Stonewall Inn. Mm-hmm.
That's the Stonewall where the gay rights movement began, right?
No, it's the other Stonewall.
The other Stonewall. I never heard of it.
She does the other Stonewall in Poughkeepsie.
I never realized the name was Stonewall Inn. And Janine Garofalo is a legendary legendary stand-up comedian and TV and film actress who really needs no introduction.
Actually, I do. My Q rating's very, very low, but I'm not snarky.
Some of the younger people may not remember.
I wouldn't assume that they would. I would never assume anybody would know who
well,
I was.
Well, this woman to your right here, Kristen.
Oh, you scared me.
We were talking, and she's like,
I didn't see you there.
We said, do you want to see Jean Garofalo? She goes, like, what did you say, Stephen? Do you know who she is? She goes, oh, my God. Of course I know who she is. I was trying to play it cool.
That's very nice of you. I mean, but I wouldn't expect anyone to. I mean, there's so many people out there. But thank you.
So good. Dan, you usually start the show.
Well, first of all, if I sound a little lethargic, I am fast. I have been fasting today. It is the Yom Kippur as we tape this. And I don't believe in God.
Is that how you say it? Yom Kippur?
Yeah, well,
I feel like that's not the
Yom
correct
Kippur.
Pronunciation.
Yom Kippur.
Yom Kippur.
If anyone should say it correctly, it would be you.
Yes. But I'm not religious. And in fact, I'm reading The God Delusion by, what's his name? Richard Dawkins right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm not in any way, shape, or form religious. And yet I still feel this intrinsic need to fast on Yom Kippur. And maybe that's a subject for another day. It's for some reason
it's habitual. It's habit.
It's habit.
It's like
and
not
I feel
walking under a ladder. I'm not superstitious, but I do not walk under ladders for some strange reason. I'm not comparing the two.
Well, but I don't think the comparison is completely outrageous.
It's Pavlovian.
I think it's more dangerous to walk under a ladder, frankly, than it is.
Also,
to fast on Yom Kippur.
I do feel that maybe fasting helps me to have more empathy for those who maybe don't have. You know, all the food that they need. I don't know. You know, I don't think it's working, but theoretically it could.
Well, what is
give
the,
me more
what is
empathy.
The principle? What's
the principle is so that you can focus on atoning, but it doesn't work because you're all focused on being hungry. But the rabbis will tell you that it's to focus.
Right, well, my daughter is 6 years old, and she just kind of realizing that she's Jewish, and she realized that on Yom Kippur we're supposed to fast. She's like, Daddy, you're not going to eat, right? You're not going to eat. I'm like, No, I'm not going to eat. So I had to leave the house today to go sneak something to eat because I don't know how to tell her that I don't.
Well, I think those kind of white lies are okay, and the same with Santa. If the child wants to believe in it and go through it and believe that you're doing it, I think it's okay to say, oh, no, I'm not. Because technically you should have said, no, I won't eat anything. You could have constructed it like, I will not eat here today. I don't know that she'll understand.
Depends on your Mila. It depends on your meaning of the word is.
Well, no, here.
Here.
Is that like
when? No, that old Clinton chestnut bringing it on back for the podcast.
Is that like when the Brady's told Greg, "You can't drive our car"? I don't know if you remember that episode.
I'm not.
And then he drove somebody else's car.
He
drove somebody else's car.
Does your dog bite? It's not my dog.
How about Gilligan's Island? I will not dress as a woman. I will not dress as a woman. I will not dress as a woman. Cut to either the skipper or Gilligan is, of course, dressed as a woman.
I don't remember that.
Like, I'm not sure. I'm sure it happened.
So, okay. So,
do we want to start with Chrissy Mayer?
Yes. Go.
I invited Chrissy down today because something happened on Facebook I thought was interesting, and it also sort of dovetails nicely into I wouldn't say necessarily the Me Too movement, but it does have to do with women and how they are. Their interaction with men. So what happened with Chrissy? Well, do you want to... This is regarding those pictures that were requested of you.
Well, I
told you that's why I was having you down.
I forgot. Because it was like a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, because we were supposed to have you here a couple weeks ago.
But then
Louis broke and we talked about him. But
yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
So, I mean, not that this is uncommon for like women on the internet, but a guy saw me on another show and he was like... he messaged me, you know, he went into my DMs and he was like, have you ever sold nudes? And I was like, no, I've never sold nudes. And then I just was like, let me see where this goes. And I was like, well, yeah, I've never done this before, but, you know, I guess I could send you a couple for like $100. And then he actually wrote back. He's like, well, I'm a poor grad student. I can't afford that. I was like, okay, you know what? Just send me whatever you can. And then before I knew it, I looked in my Venmo. There was $50 there from this guy. And I was like, well, I got to send him something. So I just Googled, like, naked man and then, like, picked the nicest photo I saw and then just sent it to him. I was like, well, I'll send you one. I'm like, thanks for the $50, and here's your nude. And he was like, yeah, I can't believe it. You're ripping off a grad student. How could you? And I'm like, it's a nude. I didn't say like of me.
Now the last, I was following the story on Facebook. He had asked you to refund the money.
Yeah,
and so that's been a couple of weeks now. Have you refunded the money?
No, I've bought groceries.
See, I feel like that's where it's a sticky area. When money is involved, people get angry. Now, had you either taken the 50 and donated it to a charity of his or your choice, or not, just for fun, sent the nude and not take the money? Because once money is taken, I feel like people get angry.
Oh, yeah, and he did.
And then it's going to go, all of these things, just stay off the internet, people. Jeez, it's, you know what I mean? It's so much trouble.
All right, now, what would so Judge Jeanine trouble. Say here, Dan?
I just did say. I said, do not take the money.
My feeling about it was...
But definitely send the male nude. I think that's funny.
You taught him a lesson, and you should have sent the money back.
What lesson? Here's the thing, though. What the person was, I think, I don't know this person, but I think he found you very attractive, genuinely, and felt... That would be nice if I saw nudes of her. I don't know that it was perverse or aggressive. I think there was an exchange. Now
it was a little creepy. Yeah.
Well, then you shouldn't have done. You should have done nothing. You should have said, "I feel it's a little creepy. Are you authentically for aesthetic purposes?" And thank you for the compliment. And if you do have tasteful nudes, I don't think there's anything wrong with that if you're selling. But or you should have not continued at all. But I think he was saying, "I find you attractive." I don't know where to stand on that, but do not take the money because that then.
I guess who pays for nudes?
A person that wants nudes of attractive people.
But if he's looking at me, he goes, okay, this is a person who's a comedian. They're trying to become like a larger public figure. Are they really going to send me a nude of them for $50? Like, is that really
happen? What you do is you the male nude. I think that's funny. The male nude and $50 back. That's what you do.
Okay.
It goes to charity.
I offered him, like, I can give you free tickets to a bunch of shows, and he was like, no.
You could do a drawing of yourself, a self-portrait of yourself nude, and send it to him.
That's a good idea.
I think nowadays a lot of women do send nude pictures either for free or for money.
That transcends gender. From what I'm hearing, there's nothing but pictures of people's privates of all genders.
Especially on Twitter. Lots and lots of...
And also Snapchat. Didn't that used to be about people very quickly showing those
things? No, you have an opinion on this, I assume?
I don't... Look, I mean, obviously, from a legal point of view, she ripped him off. And if it was an Amex charge, Amex would give him the money back, and it would be a charge back.
Yeah, I feel the money should either have been donated to a charity or given back, because then people get very mad. But also, this is such well-worn territory. When do people... Either they like these kind of exchanges or they don't. You know what I mean? That's why I steer clear of it.
Well, I think Chrissy felt that this was the very act of asking for these photos
then
was...
that's what you say in the moment.
...was rude and inappropriate. Is that correct?
Yes, but I feel like... Then that's what you say in the moment and send the male nude.
I just thought it would be so funny to trick him.
That's fine to do the male nude and then don't take the money. That's not really a trick. Because until if the person is in your face, that's aggressive, and then you're not safe. This person is asking a question. If they are a grad student, or don't answer. That's what all of these things. I don't know where people think these things are going to go.
I just wanted to have fun with him, I guess.
And but it's not fun to take $50.
Okay,
I'm not mad at you.
I'll find a charity.
I'll give him back his money.
Okay.
Just give it back. Or say to him, pick a charity of your choice.
Yeah. Something with animals.
That would be something my preference. Nice. I was going to say Mighty Mutt, something along those lines, but I don't want to be
an animal rescue. Let's say,
how about something for another $50? I promise. It's like a Lucy with a football thing.
A nude with me and an endangered species.
Would there have been an amount that you might have considered?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, there's always an amount, right?
The nude.
Well, maybe. I mean, not with my head in it, right?
I have a feeling maybe that's a young person's game. There might be an amount, but I feel like even then, I've never. I take body shame to a degree of, like with David Cross, a never nude in Arrested Development. I feel like if I could be a never nude, I would shower with a with a top and shorts on. But when I was young, had had a very nice body, I may have pretended it was empowering to send. I don't know. I have a feeling I wouldn't have, but I think a lot of people pretend empowering just because they look great and they know it. This transcends gender again. There's both male and female.
Well, it is amazing to me how many women have been willing to send me nudes with their face in it. Mm-hmm. But these are women with whom I have had relations. Okay. I wouldn't certainly have the temerity to ask somebody I barely knew.
Well,
we didn't know at all for a nude picture.
Then that's fine.
That is fine. But what's crazy is how many women are willing to send pictures of themselves with their face in it.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, our culture has raised a generation of males and females who have an unfortunate relationship with eroticism, sexuality, confidence, all of it. Well, I saw a documentary on PBS about Tinder stuff the other night, and just all of those. The swiping and the pictures, and it tends to be, as they said on the documentary, males showing themselves in manly pursuits, hunting, fishing, sports, at the gym, females in ways that are what they think curries favor with the male gaze, G-A-Z-E,
like baking or
whatever that, you know, cleavage, all that kind of stuff. It is a cultural problem, and it has to do with self-esteem. And again, grandma's so thankful that I grew up with none of that.
Well, Instagram is also I assume you're not on Instagram.
No, I'm not on Instagram.
But it is a very sexual place.
Most places turn sexual. It's the lowest kind. It's the great equalizer. Mm-hmm. It's just the dumbing down. What do I do first? It's like when people are drunk. What's my first thing? Instinct is sexuality. It's as if people are drunk all the time. It's uncreative. It's the path of least resistance. And it wouldn't. Yeah, and just like when people would say sex sells, but really, it's so hack at this point. It's so hack.
Yeah.
Sexuality and nudity, and I can't explain it. I actually should not participate in this podcast because I've got nothing to add that's interesting.
It's all interesting.
But I just find that sexuality is the most boring way to go.
But you are admitted asexual.
Yes, but even when I was
asexual.
Asexual.
That, yes.
But then again, I'm 54 years old. But when I was young, I still found it corny.
Sex.
People pushing their sexuality. Or when MTV came on when I was in high school. And the more sexual the video, the more corny I found it. And I'm not pretending that's noble. I'm just saying I always found that rather corny when people put that first.
It is corny, especially when you're trying to be seen as somebody with another talent. Like a few years ago, like I was in a phase of like posting more provocative stuff. But then I was like, oh, do I want to be seen as like a thought, which is slang for that hoe over there, like a basic chick, or do I want people to see me as a comedian?
Oh,
and then I was like,
act.
I had to phase out. Yeah, like it would be like, oh, look at that thought. Like,
that's
T-H-O-T.
Interesting. We're learning. We're learning things.
So I was like, you're in control of how you want to be perceived, and I want people to think of me as a comedian. So, I mean, if I do something with, I'm not going to do anything naked, but it has to be funny. Like, I wouldn't even cross that line unless it's funny.
Here's the thing, though. You're very it's funny when Will Ferrell takes his shirt off. It's not funny when Ben Stiller takes his shirt off and pretends it's comedy because he's cut.
You're like,
and ripped. and no, I'm not criticizing Ben Stiller, but I'm saying that it just seems
funny.
Like, hey, there's a person who goes to the gym every day. Will Ferrell, it's very funny when a British comedian Nick Helm takes his shirt off because they don't go to the gym every day. That's why it's
why
funny.
Why you were pointing
and then
at me.
There's females.
I happen to have a very pleasing physique.
But what I'm saying, there's a lot of females who
fasting.
Pretend they're being funny, but they have great bodies. Or a lot of people, I said this earlier, a lot of people pretend it's empowering. They're just showing off. Now, it's funny when a person, a female, who doesn't care at all about physical appearance takes off the shirt. That's fine. Because they're not showing off.
Do you think there's no place in stand-up for females to flaunt their sexuality?
Stop. Well, you keep saying female. You stop putting gender into this. If they want to flaunt their sexuality, that's fine. Same with males. Males do it, too. They show up. They find reasons to take their shirt off because they're trying to get dates.
But it's obviously more common among women.
I don't know. I've seen a lot of fellas who are pretending that T-shirt that fits very snugly is just an absent-minded choice. You know what? If they want to have sexuality, it's fine. But again, it has to be funny and it has to be a reason for it. It has to be a different perspective. It's such well-worn territory. And again, it just seems like I'm yelling at people. I'm not. But I'm just, I find sex, if you're going to talk about dating and sex and all that, that's fine. Find a new way in. It's like talking about airplane food. If you don't find some way that is your perspective or that is somehow interesting or isn't just like the ooh factor.
You think like you shouldn't get praised just for being born looking a certain way. Like you should get praised for like your work.
It's like looking at art. I have no problem praising males and females who are objectively and empirically speaking stunning. Angelina Jolie, Fassbender. It's like looking at a painting to me. It's like fine art. Like I could look at Michael Fassbender all day. I could look at Angelina Jolie all day. I'm not saying it. And then there's some people that are supposedly very attractive, empirically speaking or objective, that I do not find. Like I'm more, I actually tend to be attracted to Elias Koteas, male-wise.
I
have a bit of a goog.
I will goog,
Or a female that is not, like Chrissy Hynde. You know what I mean? Like people that are not.
From the Pretenders.
You know what I mean? Like that I find more appealing. But I can look at great, beautiful people and go, my goodness. Or Jennifer Lopez. Stunning.
Stunning.
Skin seems to be glowing from within.
She doesn't drink, caffeine.
I can say that looking like I would look at a painting. Like that is
she's an alien.
Stunning.
So, I'm a dad, right? And my daughter is rapidly getting older. What do I need to do as I'm raising her so that left to her own devices, she will choose to not present herself
there's nothing
as
you
a
can
sex
do.
Object?
There's nothing. And, you know, and children listen to their parents least. They listen to their peers the most. What I would say is set an example and try and curb the TV and the viewing and what they're doing
but
online.
You're presupposing that it's necessarily bad for her to flaunt her sexuality.
It is. It's stupid. It's corny. And you know what? I find that very beautiful young girls actually can be railroaded in high school by dating the wrong guy because their beauty is so present and forward that they wind up dating older creeps, which can set you on the wrong track. I don't know if I'm articulating that correctly.
No, I think very well. I think you're absolutely right.
Is your daughter into, like, what is she into other than just going to school? Like, is she into
candy.
Sports?
No, I mean, you know, honestly, there's nothing you can do.
She's six.
Like, what is she? Oh, she's six. Okay. Yeah, honestly, what kept me off the wrong path is, like, I was a diver. I started springboard diving when I was, like, 11 and all the way through college. And, like, that
athletics.
Kept me, yeah, like, that kept me
I think
off
she's very athletic,
the
my
streets.
I believe that sports is really helpful. And also any extracurricular activities. Also camp, like any kind of camp that where
good.
I met your sister. Yeah,
Janine and my sister were at camp together many years ago.
It was field hockey or was it gymnastics?
No, gymnastics.
Gymnastics camp. Because I would
say
field hockey.
Part of it is activities. Part of it is kind of who your friends are because I was friends
definitely.
Some girls in high school who were definitely like already blowing dudes. And I was just like,
whoa. I was going to say me too. Not that.
No, high school's too young for that. I mean, she's really young. I mean, part of it is your friends, part of it is your activities. And then I would honestly say, like, just keep talking to her, like, keep a good relationship with her. Be like, how are you, you know, talk to her about her feelings, which is something my dad never did. And, like, because he's German and, like, you know, limited.
From Germany?
And do you understand German? The German language? Do you speak to you in the German language?
No, he speaks in English. He's just like.
Well, he's German American or he's German from Germany?
From Germany, but, like, came here when he was really young. I'm using Germany. I'm using him being German as an excuse for him being.
But it can be different. Yeah. Culturally, very different. And also, you could you should say to your daughter when she gets older the exact question you just asked. What can I do?
That's a good idea.
What's it going to take for you?
To keep you from doing things that I feel are not in your
best
interest.
But I don't think it's healthy for you to restrict her too much. I mean, girls want to be pretty. They want to be fashionable, do they not?
Sometimes. Some do,
and they
some
want
don't.
To be, they
then
want
there's a
my
whole
daughter's
kind of
already
riot girl type.
And looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yes, but so do some boys. And there's a whole
not
other movement of young girls that are like into riot girl, like second wave and Pussy Riot, and I hate, I'm sorry I had to say the P word, but that's what the band is called.
That's a Russian band.
And they read Bust Magazine and Bitch Magazine, and there is, there is factions of forward-thinking young girls that go to guitar camp and rock girl, Riot Girl camp, you know what I mean?
Well, like, you can go to guitar camp and still want to be attractive.
Yes, you're so misunderstanding where I'm coming
from,
and I'm getting angry at you.
He does it to me all the time.
You know, let's take that off the table. They're wanting to be pretty. That's fine. And some people are pretty. But it doesn't mean you have to do it in a very conventional way. Yes, of course it's easier for attractive people to make it through junior high and high school. Of course it is. That's the very nature of life itself. And until we change the human condition, that's not going to change. But there are plenty of people who do very well, who are not traditionally, but their personalities are so great, or they're funny, or they're smart, or they excel at sports. That, too, also happens. You know, we're having a conversation in a vacuum because there's nothing we can do about life. You know what I mean? Like, this,
so much
things are going to happen.
Is out of your control. But, like, praise that has nothing to do with her looks is always, the more of that, the better. Like, genuine praise on, like, whether she's into arts or sports or, you know,
or
literature.
Or getting good grades or any of these things. But the thing is, peers, unfortunately, override parents at a certain age. And it's unfortunate. But you never know. You know, like, there's kids sometimes just find their way. But I feel like if you ask her questions, genuinely, sincerely, out of love, that can go so far. Because so many kids don't feel very listened to or loved by their parents, and that can set them looking for approval from their peers, which can be very bad.
We're extremely close, father and daughter, now.
Yeah, that's great.
Like, extremely close.
And that's great.
But these things can sometimes go awry.
They can change,
you know?
But the thing is if the base is there, it'll always come back. Because a lot of kids who are extremely close with their parents, there's a bad period, but they come back. It comes back because you can never forget that base of unconditional love that's there. And I
agree with that very much.
It's because it's true.
You've seen my so-called
life.
It becomes programmed in our brains. We don't even realize it's there.
It is. It's again, Pavlovian, because the same thing. My parents loved the S out of us. And then we were the most ungrateful pricks for a period of time. And then all of us came back around. Do you know what I mean? Never forgetting.
Yeah.
And the guilt, you know what I mean, like of how we were in the middle there. And then my siblings have gone on to be fantastic parents themselves. I've never wanted to have children, but they did, and they are as loving as my parents were. And I think you can never undo that base that's there.
I agree with you 1,000%.
My parents put braces on me when I was in college, and
on
that
your legs
worked
or your
wonders.
Your
no,
legs
my
or your teeth.
I had braces in college, and that's the most expensive birth control there is. But it worked.
Guys don't
weren't
care
they
about
Invisalign?
Braces.
Weren't they Invisalign?
They were like the ceramic kind, but it was like...
Guys do not care
actually,
about nothing.
I think it looks cute. Braces look cute.
Well, really? I'm sure you could have gotten laid in college.
That's very late,
but
though. You didn't have them in high school? In
no,
junior high?
I like... Because when I got to college, I was like, I'm going to be a reporter. And my parents were like, you have kind of an over bite, and then I got braces in college. But I also had a really short haircut, so maybe I'll attribute it to that.
But actually, I used to think braces, I didn't never had braces. My siblings all did. I wanted them so badly.
Really?
And my bottom teeth now are so crooked.
Did you have any sexual contact in college?
Like, very, very little.
Okay.
I didn't either. I barely did either. Yeah.
I did not.
I hardly did.
My first kiss was at 24 in law school.
Ooh.
Who was that?
Well, my first kiss was a senior high, but I didn't have sex till I was out of college. I mean, I didn't have my first boyfriend was, I met them when I was a senior in college, but I would say it was so, nothing happened in college for me. And actually, I can't say really that it was an issue.
No, nothing happened for me, and it was a terrible issue. I was just furious for 4 years straight.
Why?
Because I had no social life, and I had no contact with the opposite sex. I was very shy, and I...
Really? Not even just in class or just in the dorms or somehow?
Very, very little. Very, very little.
But that you weren't ready.
I did masturbate once in the student lounge.
Well, that's fine. I'm sure you weren't the only one. But the thing is
I think I was.
Why is the vending machine sticky?
When people are ready, they're ready. You know what I mean? Some people are late bloomers.
I was a late bloomer in terms of the activity, but I was ready. I mean, I wanted it. I just didn't get it.
What are you saying? So you couldn't just be friends with or converse easily with
Well, I could
females.
Be friends with, but to take it beyond that was very difficult. Still today,
gentlemen.
I'm sure it's because of your own insecurity. People sense insecurity. People do respond to confidence and people that are comfortable in their own skin.
Well, even today, I really have to rely on women coming up to me after a show saying that I was funny. Even at 48 years old, it's still difficult for
me. Well, then it is what it is.
But I'm getting better. I mean, maybe by 60, I'll finally have the thing.
How's your wink? Are you good at winking?
Do people do that?
They do, but I don't know if it would work in your case.
I think that had...
How young will you go at this age? 48?
How young will
you're
I...
You're very young. You don't look 48.
Well, I do appreciate
I didn't,
it.
I would have thought at like all. 30s.
Where do you put it?
I thank you so
much.
What's your skincare
regime? But you know that that's not true because you know my sister is
your
age.
No, I know, but I really, for some reason, looking at you, forgot you, the
you
age
must
you
moisturize.
Were.
Well, they say God only gives us what we can handle.
So he gave you great skin.
I couldn't handle bad skin.
Right. Well, good. See, because you had enough on your plate with not being able to talk to the ladies.
I had enough on my plate, and I have enough on my plate with all my neuroses. So God said, well, we'll let him have his hair.
But
and
see,
his,
if you weren't exactly like this, you wouldn't be you, and you wouldn't be the stand-up that you are. You have to have all of these things
have
in
play. Have you seen my stand-up ever?
Not recently.
No. Have you seen it ever?
Has it
yes,
changed?
I have.
Oh, have you? Okay.
But are you saying it's not
funny.
Like that? It's
no,
not
you
like
said
that?
You were saying I wouldn't be the stand-up that I am, but you don't know. I
mean, all of the things that we are is what we bring to the
right.
table.
Yeah, I mean,
as
I might
a stand-up.
Be a bad. What I'm saying is, I might be a bad stand-up.
No,
or
your
you
perspective
been an
can only come from where it comes from by being the.
If we could just quickly, on a related note, you were last time we had spoken to you, Janine, here on the podcast. We were encouraging you to come perform here at the Comedy Cellar.
Yes.
And you haven't been here since then.
And I haven't even been in town, mostly, since we last talked. But also, I had... there. You do a thing where you call in your availabilities on Sunday. Is that the thing?
Yeah.
And then, but I mostly haven't been here a lot. And for the most... I wasn't here all summer. But as I told you before, and you well remember why I told you, I have an emotional reaction to bombing here so badly in the 90s. That it honestly feels like, even when I walked in here, I have a feeling. It's a visceral feeling. I knew you were going to bring that up again to make us uncomfortable.
No,
but you don't remember that I said that to you last time.
You could do my show, Janine.
Yeah, but I also remember
the Stonewall Inn.
Yes.
I would love to.
No, but
I love the Stonewall.
No, but I also remember you saying that you would.
And yes, we did communicate. We went back and forth.
Okay.
I know, but we.
Oh, I'm sorry if that was a
the invitation.
No, I can't say it again. I mean, I said it last time.
Faith, you know, it's good to. I mean, I wouldn't call it a fear, but it's good. Like you have a bad experience. There's something
that's
healthy
true.
About facing
if
it.
If you would like,
overcoming
I
get, it.
If can I do a set right after we finish here? Is there a show going on?
Absolutely, you
yes,
can.
So exciting.
We're done here at 8. Yeah. If I go, because then I have another show that I have
Yay!
To go to.
Yay!
I will go right downstairs, and you will see how poorly it probably will go as I.
Well, I just enjoy
notes.
You so much. The last time I saw you at the stand,
maybe if there is a spot available
yeah, sure.
downstairs.
Maybe I'm
this.
Being selfish because I'd like to see you here.
Well,
because
I will be happy to walk down those stairs and yeah. do a set, and you can see how we do.
Liz.
But I don't want to displace anybody.
You're not going to displace anybody. Can we fit Janine in for 5 minutes after the podcast to do a set downstairs?
There,
5, 7 minutes? Whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll prove to them that I won't do well.
No, of course you'll
I think
do
you'll
well.
Be great.
Talk about
but
self-fulfilling prophecy.
I don't even regard not doing well, as painful as it is for every comic to not do well. That's not how I judge a comic. That's
well, okay, we'll see.
Gnome is a business.
Are you sure I'm not displacing anybody?
You're not displacing anybody.
Okay.
No, Gnome obviously wants to get laughs. He's running a business.
I mean, that's not how you judge a comic.
No,
that's
I like, would like to as well.
As much as scoring points is part of basketball, that's not how I judge a basketball player.
Well,
you have to do well to be a
comic. Yes, you do, but not everybody's going to do well in front of every audience
that's true, that's
on
true.
Any
yeah.
given
no,
night.
No, and it's hit or miss anytime, anywhere.
That's
it's
right.
just this. What this is genuinely an emotional, and I can. There was a time. And I didn't bring this up last time, and I'm not going to name who the comics were. I overheard them mocking me.
Back in the 90s?
In the 90s.
Well, because they
back
were...
on the stairwell. And it hurt my feelings so bad, because these were comics I actually like, and like their stand-up, and I thought we were friendly.
That's shitty.
And oh, that's what, it happens. And I was tanking, and they were mocking how not funny I was. And I've never, and again, and I'm not holding it against them, because I actually... tend to agree with them sometimes, and I still like them and like their stand-up, but that memory was so painful, and that was the last time I did stand-up here. And so either I will or won't throw off the
that's very
that feeling.
Yeah.
But and it, like I said, when it comes from people you don't know or don't think that they're funny, it's one thing. When it's people that you're like you hang out with,
yeah.
and
yeah.
you thought. You know, and you think they're good when you. And I don't even think they were meant to be vitriolic. Sometimes I think people can't help themselves. Like you just, it's the kind of the currency of,
right.
also of the thing.
At that time, you were a star, right? I mean, you were on top of the world.
I don't know if I was a star, but I would say at that time I was getting a lot of work.
So
yes.
I mean, jealousy might have factored.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think there was the evidence
okay.
was bombing.
Yeah.
And they, I think that they know they're good comics.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's jealousy, because nobody is more self-loathing. I mean, it's not like I was a person who put on airs of, you know, at that time when I was doing well, I don't think I behaved, except for I probably was ill-mannered when I was drunk, but that would have been the case with or without work. Yeah. I do apologize if I was ill-mannered, drunk here. I used to be drunk a lot and mean. Not mean, ill-mannered. That's what I was told. I don't remember it, but that's what I was told, so...
You blacked out drunk? That
Oh, I was a black... Oh, yes.
I've never blacked out.
Once you do, you start to do it a lot. But I... At first, I wasn't. But then, as the years went on, I became a blackout drunk. Yeah.
So, this is in some way we can tie it into what's going on.
It seems like as good a segue as any.
Mm-hmm. What do you think... How do you minimize somebody's moral guilt when they've done something when they're falling down drunk, like what's accused of 17-year-old Kavanaugh?
I actually, from as a person who was a drunk and a person who was told that they were a real pill, yeah. I try and be as sensitive as I can to those that I, especially when I can tell that they can sense tomorrow's shame. Does that make sense? Like when somebody you're interacting with is very, very drunk and they're really being annoying, but you can tell there's a hint that they know they're going to regret tomorrow. Right. I try so hard to ease that pain as a person, unless they're doing something that is so out of bounds and ridiculous, then I don't know that I want to ease their pain. If they're being a person who is being mean to someone else or being so far out of bounds, I don't really need to cushion their
Well, what about
tomorrow's
a situation like Mel Gibson, which is, that's already 10 years ago.
Jesus, I don't need to make Mel Gibson feel better. I've got no sympathy for Mel Gibson nor his father's evangelical nonsense. But I do feel badly.
And Holocaust denying.
The Holocaust denying. Yeah, I don't need to ease the pain of a Holocaust denier. But I do feel badly when I see someone in another context where that's thrown at them. Now, he was being interviewed one time for a Jodie Foster film, and all the questions, do you apologize? Okay, if you want to have that conversation with him, there's no need to lure him onto the TV show.
I agree with you.
Pretending to talk about something else. It's just cowardly. You want to take it up with Mel Gibson, you take it up with him as a human, not with the cameras on, so that you don't have to worry that you're not going to get him coming back at you. Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
Or warn him. That's what you want to talk about on
yes,
the camera.
Yes, say it. Don't lie. Say it. Say, I'm going to discuss this with you. And then he's either going to come on camera or not. But that's stupid to me. That's just, again, low-hanging fruit. There's no nobility in it.
So here's the question which the whole country is facing now, which is that if you're a 17-year-old falling down drunk kid and you pull down a girl and paw her in a room. You're in an all boys school, you know, and you get access to a
Chrissy,
a woman.
Mayer, we're talking about the Kavanaugh. Have you been up on it?
I've been up on
the Kavanaugh. There's so many other things about Kavanaugh we should also be discussing.
Well, let's one at a time.
If this takes him down, I'm happy for it. I don't give a shit about Kavanaugh. I want him gone.
Of course you do, but that's you know how unfair things happen. What I'm saying is that. Do you think that if it was your son who was 17 years old who did the same thing, would you feel that, yes, this should, doesn't matter what he does for the next 36 years, this should be a permanent stain?
No, of course not. But the thing is, everything he's done in the last 36 years is as bad and worse than that. This is a liar, a cultural criminal, and a right-wing nut who is only there to do Donald Trump's bidding.
So
this is a issue that takes us off the track of also why we should be against Kavanaugh's
nomination. So if he were an honest...
If he was a great guy after the age of 17, absolutely. I think that one should not be held for the rest of their life accountable.
So what is the principle, other than the fact that you don't like him, and I might agree with you, that allows us to bring this fact in now?
The principle is that when a person is 17, and if they are appropriately punished for what they've done when they're 17, for however long that takes, then when that person is 47, and if they've been a decent human being, there's no reason to bring that up if they've paid the price when they were younger.
Well, he can't punish him for not being punished. It's not his fault he was never punished, but he hasn't done anything, to my knowledge, of this sort that we heard yet.
That all we know. But that... But I think it's fine to bring this up in these hearings for the moral character of this particular person. for the job that they are going to take and the power they will wield and the impact it will have on your life.
So
yes, it is appropriate.
So
to
even
bring
if
it up.
Even if he were liberal and had
you know
been
what
great
you are
guys.
Absolutely purposely confusing this issue.
No, I'm not.
It is so not important. About
liberal. I'm really not.
Yes, you are. You know what?
Okay.
You are trying to make it seem like there's a moral ambiguity with Kavanaugh and the way he's behaved for his entire life. No. There is no moral ambiguity there. What he did when he was 17, if it was taken up at the time and he was punished, if there was atonement,
yeah.
And then he went on to be a person of impeccable moral character, I would not say it is fair to bring it up in the hearing. This is a person of non-impeccable moral character. And if they were a liberal who had been sexually harassing someone at 17 and went on to be a terrible person,
okay, so
well, then they wouldn't be a liberal.
Strike the word liberal, because you had said about the things that he had been standing for. That's the only reason I said the word liberal. Let's just say he had someone who, a conservative or anybody of an impeccable moral character.
Well, they wouldn't be a conservative if they were of impeccable moral character.
Well, that's what I thought you thought. That's why I said liberal.
Because today's conservatives are not of impeccable moral character. If you want to go back 30 years to what allegedly conservative meant, that's a different
thing. You're getting me either way. I said liberal because I felt that was your opinion. I knew that he had to be liberal for you not to think, for you to believe they had impeccable character. And so I said liberal and said, it doesn't matter that they're liberal. I say, okay.
There's people
not
who claim
liberal.
To be liberal.
Well,
there's
liberal,
people
then,
that claim to be liberal yeah, then are okay. not of impeccable moral character. But I'm saying liberal, why are we talking about this?
Only because it's the number one issue of the world today.
Yeah, but there's so many. But the thing about Kavanaugh and the issues that Kavanaugh and so many like him in the Trump administration and that are supporting him, this issue should be in play for him. It shouldn't be in play for a person who has atoned for it and then been a good person afterward. So you're asking me, when is the line on a person that doesn't deserve to have when is the line?
I don't know how I feel about it, but I know that when it comes to issues of women, he seems to have been a good dude the last 36 years.
How would we know that? And you know what? And I bet he's not, because I'm sure he wants to overturn Roe v. Wade. And I'm sure he doesn't support...
I'm talking about his behavior.
What are you... Voting is behavior.
Voting on Roe v. Wade, but people do have a right to oppose Roe v. Wade. Religious people or whatever. I mean, I don't oppose it, but...
Guess what, though? It's legal. Roe v. Wade is legal. And the thing that a lot of people who oppose Roe v. Wade are fine with the death penalty, are fine with guns, are fine with war, are fine with not paying taxes that go to social services.
Yeah.
It is such a red herring, this alleged pro-life, pro-war, pro-death penalty, pro-torture, pro-Abu Ghraib, pro-Guantanamo. But and like many evangelicals vote for Donald Trump. There's like nothing moral about that.
Like a religious Catholic would be against abortion but against the death penalty.
If they walk the walk like the Amish, I'm fine with it. Because they are towing the line on solid belief.
So if Kavanaugh were a religious Catholic...
He is not a religious Catholic. You stop pretending Kavanaugh is a decent human being.
I'm not trying
you're
to...
You're creating
I don't know,
a false
I don't know
opposition.
About Kavanaugh.
Well, then you should. If you're bringing it up for your podcast and saying it's the most important issue, then why don't you do your homework about Kavanaugh?
You're purposely misconstruing me. I am trying...
No, I'm not.
I'll tell you why. Because normally when you discuss moral issues, you discuss them in an objective way, not attached to a particular person that exists.
How can you separate it? In the case of people, the way they vote, the way they've perjured themselves, they have had a history of political subterfuge, and they are there for the purpose of supporting Donald Trump and for stopping the... They are there to obstruct justice. This person who is allegedly there for justice is being placed there to obstruct justice. How can you separate moral question
from this
person?
I'll tell you how I can separate, because I think that, for instance, if you are punished for a crime like this at 17, you usually make a deal when they say, okay, well, you're going to do this probation, whatever it is, and then after a certain amount of time, the records will be sealed.
Mm-hmm.
And those records are sealed, and they don't get to unseal them because of your politics or because you were against Roe v. Wade. We say as a society, we feel that if you don't ever do this again, we seal your records forever.
And if they are sealed, but some people unseal them. But the thing is, do you realize
and we don't
that
need to know your future when we decide to seal
them? The job he is being nominated for.
Yeah.
Do you not think that this...
Well, I said to somebody today, I said, you know, I would not... I could see myself being proud of my country if someone had murdered somebody as a minor and then grew up to be an adult on the Supreme Court. I could see being proud, like, what a great country
If that, that person earned to sit on the Supreme Court.
But Janine, because I think the general principle that Noam is trying to express, using Kavanaugh as an example, but it comes up again and again and again, this notion of how do we judge people outside of a courtroom for actions that happened a long time ago?
That is a different question. We are talking about a person inside the courtroom. So if we're not, let's not talk about Kavanaugh. I'm saying that,
for example, in the case of Kavanaugh, there's no trial. So in order, we have to somehow figure out, did he do these things?
I think he did.
First of all, factually, yes, he did. Second of all, you can look at his voting record and his behavior. Those are all factual. And fourth or fifth of all, we may not even have a say as a country because they're going to rush that vote through. And like, I think that's also why a lot of people at the civic level, a lot of civil rights issues are coming to the fore because we have no power over what's going on with the Trump administration. So at the grassroots level, you got to fight for your rights much harder. And so Kavanaugh will probably be rushed through like all these other ridiculous nominees. Trump has unbelievably evaded impeachment so far and the law continually. How many nights can you turn on the news and hear other charges and more charges
Every night.
And it's the most frustrating thing. And of course, if it were a Democrat, they would have been hauled into jail. Even before they took off, they would have had Hillary Clinton in handcuffs, because that's what Republicans, it's a blood sport. Yet they still, with the help of the Congress and the Senate, they have evaded and obstructed justice and allowed Donald Trump to remain illegally president.
Greg,
he didn't win.
You want to come sit down with
me? I don't want to do this podcast anymore. This is the worst. This is so not fun.
Can we talk about nudes
this?
Again?
This is such a drag.
Okay, let's talk about something else then.
No, you can talk about whatever you want, but it's just I get so hepped up about it, and I'm sure your listeners are like, I don't want to hear her.
I think this is great
talking
what you're
and
saying.
Talking. It is or it isn't. But the thing is it's one of those things that it's probably
for your listeners, I
can't take this anymore. Because honestly, I get so angry about this stuff. I get so hepped up about politics and culture and the Trump administration continually obstructing justice and getting away with it, where, you know, you can watch the first 48 hours. Those guys get it done in 48 hours, and there's people going to jail for sometimes lesser crimes or sometimes just homicide, attempted homicide. The judicial system puts away the poor and the disenfranchised constantly. And political and white-collar criminals continually get away with it. And we have to sit there and take it. And we probably have to take Kavanaugh getting rushed through. It's not a democracy. It's just not. And I think why I get angry is I feel like sometimes people make light of these conversations like it's this thing we can banter about that doesn't impact our lives and your children's lives a great deal. You know, the denying climate change being just one issue. And that's why when I think about, how old is your daughter again?
6.
Think about it. Think about this. Think about the implications of denying climate change for the rest of her life, the air we breathe. And it's just catastrophe after catastrophe with the weather and no money for FEMA. You know what I mean? Cutting social services. And all of this she inherits.
Yep.
I do think about it.
Of course, every parent automatically thinks about the world that their parents are going to have.
If Kavanaugh overturns Roe v. Wade and undercuts women's rights and doesn't believe in equal pay, this impacts her a great deal. So that's why I feel like it's not this ha-ha-ha thing to discuss on a podcast.
Well, I don't think we're ha-ha-ha-ing it, but we're trying to...
But we're trying to make it seem-
to distill some general principles that we keep, especially here at the Comedy Cellar, coming up against again and again and again, and Louis C.K. is an example.
I support Louis C.K., and I'll say he's my friend. He's been my friend since the late 80s, and I think it's fine that he performed here, and I do not agree with the person who called afterwards and complained about it. My boyfriend told me that somebody said, I was offended, I wasn't warned.
But
that is such nonsense. And first of all, as we were discussing earlier, nobody discusses more on stage what they've done. Any of the things he's done over the years, he has talked about on stage. And I think he's been kicked appropriately. You know what I mean? And also, Aziz Ansari, are you kidding me with this? And Chris Hardwick. I think that these things can be like a Twilight Zone episode. Once you can accuse somebody of something and not be questioned, any one of us...
It's crazy.
Can be accused of anything.
But this is the principle that we're trying to sort of discuss.
It's not the same. Louis C.K. doing stand-up here has no... What he does does not impact your life and politics. Kavanaugh makes decisions that directly impact your life. This is a very different situation. Do you see what I'm saying?
I understand.
But he is
and that's
accused.
Why they shouldn't be put...
But I understand.
He doesn't make laws. Louis C.K. doesn't sit in a seat of power. He does not sit in Washington and make decisions.
Well, I certainly get that. But we still have to try to ascertain guilt or innocence on a, you know, without benefit of a
no, we don't. We do need to have benefit of a, what I'm saying is it's not okay to accuse somebody of something without looking into it. That's
well,
not that's not
we're
fine.
But with Kavanaugh, the same issue applies.
It has been looked into. Why are you not aware of Kavanaugh? Are you not aware?
I'm talking
of
very specifically about the issue with the accusation of
sexual assault.
Yes, and it's been investigated.
Yeah, she spoke to a therapist about it in like 2012.
Yeah, but the two people she named just before I got on the show, the second guy that she named as having been there says he wasn't at the party.
But also, why are you not investigating other things that Kavanaugh does? Why is this? And you know what? If it takes him down, like tax evasion took down Capone, I'm fine with it. Because this is a bad guy.
Yeah.
But also, Louis C.K. should not be mentioned in the same sentence with him. And I feel like he's atoned. Let's stop kicking him around. You know what? There are people that do far greater things that impact our lives in government, in power, at the civic and the macro level. These are things we should be discussing.
Yeah, to be clear, I think Kavanaugh did do it, even if the people, whatever it is, I don't believe that a woman would... remember that wrong. It's possible.
But she might have. I think it's okay to question the source. I think it's gender neutral, because I don't believe in a society where we can accuse anyone of anything and nobody.
I'm happy you said that,
anything.
And I agree with that. But I just my only and if they are going to investigate it, I think they need to subpoena all these dudes and they got to investigate.
And
it.
And I don't mean a harsh questioning. I don't believe in what were you wearing? You deserve it.
No,
not at all.
No, but they got to get to the bottom of it. Like, they're serious.
A honest and sympathetic questioning. Yeah. And this goes for all genders and all sexualities. Is it 8 o'clock yet?
But it's 5 minutes. But I am struggling with the notion of holding a 17-year-old.
Yes, I agree with that.
I'm struggling with that.
I agree with it, yeah. Because kids do things, and it's terrible when kids' lives are car accidents, drunk driving, and their life is ruined forever. I am 100% with you, because they're children. 17-year-olds, if they have a repeated pattern after hopefully atoning for what they've done, being punished for...
Yeah, but I wouldn't include their politics in that as you would.
So Supreme Court justice should be held to a higher standard.
I'm talking about Kavanaugh. I'm not talking about everybody in the world.
Okay.
Yes, Supreme Court justices should be held to a higher standard.
No, I don't think so.
Now, if that person, after the age of 17, has done nothing wrong, that's fine. That's fine. And... but that's not the case with Kavanaugh. So, I feel like we're muddying the waters here. You're talking about a person who is not a good person, and you're bringing in, anybody. What if they're a good person? Well, this person isn't.
Can I tell you? You made a face. Let me tell you why I don't think the Supreme Court should be held a higher standard. Because I think that it...
Clearly the presidency isn't.
No.
It should be. It isn't. And no. The Supreme Court should be and isn't, too, because it's packed all the time.
I'm going to tell you why, and maybe I'm wrong here, is that I think that there is a question of whether or not what somebody does at 17 is or is not an indication of who they are 35 years later. And if it is, then it is for everybody.
Someone who stole a car, but also,
and if it's not, then it's not.
Holding somebody down and putting your hand over their mouth so they can't scream and sexually assaulting them, that's a big thing.
Yes, it is.
It's a big thing.
Yes.
And just because you did it at 17, I mean...
So then it's not just for Supreme Court. Then I'm saying, like, if it's
He's not going to trial on this. He's just going to either be on the Supreme Court or not. You know, and he's held to a certain standard.
Thing.
A rapist shouldn't be on the Supreme Court.
So you think still tells us who he is today?
Absolutely.
Okay, so
something extreme.
Not because on the Supreme Court, because
if he stole a car, if that's something else. But if he raped or attempted to rape
somebody? Well, Chrissy, we haven't heard from Chrissy in a while. I don't want to.
I definitely see all your points of view on it. It's because I'm probably the dumbest person on this panel, but I think what it sounds like he did was a series of decisions. Like, if you're putting your hand over somebody's mouth and raping them, it's not just like, oh, you're drunk, you're in high school or college.
No, he didn't rape her.
Oh.
He was too drunk to rape her.
I think that in Kavanaugh's case, he's a bad apple. You know what I mean? But I think there are some people that commit crimes, atone for, go to prison, try to turn their lives around. Now, but then again, you're talking about this one person on the Supreme Court, and Supreme Court people should absolutely be held to a higher standard. They have they're there for
then
life.
Then why didn't we impeach Clinton when he lied under oath?
Oh, will you stop with that? Yeah. Stop bringing up stuff that has nothing to do with it. And first of all, he was tried to impeach him. They did try.
Right, but
didn't
why
have
was that?
Votes.
Why were?
And you know what? I don't care about that. And
I'm just trying to look for a consistent.
You know what?
Theory.
Why didn't we impeach George Bush for the illegal war? And first of all, he wasn't elected. Antonin Scalia illegally installed him. Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia broke the law and illegally installed George W. Bush, stopping the recount in Florida.
Wow.
Okay, so that's everything. So what Bill Clinton did, do you care that somebody was filleted in office? I don't give a shit.
No, he wasn't the issue.
He was lying about cheating on his wife.
No, he was not lying. He was lying.
What the definition of is under oath.
No, well, let's just be correct. I supported Clinton. I didn't want him impeached. But to be clear, he was lying to avoid the case against Paula Jones was suing him for sexual harassment, which he most probably did, and he was lying under oath about that in order so that he wouldn't lose that case.
Yes, and you know what? That stuff, what was brought to you by Kenneth Starr and the Republicans, $30 million of tax money.
No, she sued him.
I know, and the National Enquirer and all the oppositional research got her. He tried to be a decent president, and also, I don't care about that. I don't care if George Bush had an affair. What I do care about is invading Iraq illegally. What I do care about is what went on in Kosovo during Clinton's and Operation Desert Storm under Clinton. I care about that. I don't care about filleting in office.
But with Bill Clinton, we also have the case of Juanita Broderick, which is very, very, very credible and much more recent than Kavanaugh. And yet, I'm sure at the next presidential convention, Bill Clinton's going to be sitting there at the Democratic convention.
You know what? Bill Clinton has done far more to try and help you out than that.
I agree with that.
And you know what? Just stop muddying the waters here with all this kind of stuff. Bill Clinton is not the same guy as Donald Trump. Stop saying you need a standard. I'll give you a standard.
I need a standard other than having to call Janine Garofalo and find out
No. You don't need to listen to me. Yeah. What I'm saying is I think you're pretending you need a standard. You're comparing Bill Clinton is with Kavanaugh.
I'm comparing
Trump.
Bill Clinton and Juanita Broderick.
Mm-hmm. You can't compare anything to the Trump administration.
To Kavanaugh. But Kavanaugh, I don't think Trump ever met Kavanaugh.
He shouldn't be allowed to appoint anybody.
No, Trump is appointing Kavanaugh because there's an agreement that Kavanaugh will stop the Mueller investigation and be a yes man for him.
Okay, but to be clear, I think Kavanaugh did it, and I think he's toast. And that's what
I don't think. Yeah. I don't think he's toast, and I think he very well may be voted in by a corrupt Republican Congress.
I would prefer they would get him for perjury or some other
thing. Yes, and
he
already should have been because he's already purged himself, and he hasn't. And we've been wasting time talking about this nonsense like it's nothing. The thing is, he has purged himself, and he probably will be voted in. And you know what I mean? And so this other stuff is, and he will sit in a seat of power and affect your life.
Yeah, or my daughter's life.
Or your daughter's life. So to bring in is and Clinton, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. This is unnecessary now. That's in the past. And he was attempted to be impeached, and there wasn't the votes. And he's been a public joke ever since.
Okay, I just want to stand by, in my own defense, the principle that someone making, forming opinions in the world does look to other examples of similar things and see how they were treated in other contexts.
Except they're not really similar.
In order to determine a consistent opinion that won't make you a hypocrite the next time some guy who you do agree with does the same thing.
Well, here's
and then you have
thing.
To backtrack
the
about why it's okay now and it wasn't okay then.
Doesn't make you a hypocrite. You can't apply a standard blanket thing for a 17-year-old who drives drunk and a 17-year-old that rapes somebody. And also a 17-year-old that then goes to prison or atones or does
whatever.
That's
what's interesting. That's what I said about sealing records. Because rape, we don't seal the records. We do not seal the records of a 17-year-old that rapes, which is kind of our way of saying, certain things are so heinous that we do believe it stays
with you. But I bet you there are 17-year-olds who are connected who have had their records sealed. Everything can be, there are haves and have-nots in this world, and people who are connected, and they get things sealed, and we'll never know about it.
That's true.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Dan, you shouldn't get so angry. I can't help it.
This stuff is important. How can I not
That's
get
why
angry?
It's important. That's
this is our
talk
lives.
About.
This is what's going on with Trump. This is our lives. And what went on with George Bush.
Okay.
That what went on in Iraq has in everything. The refugee crisis, these ripple effects. It goes on and on and on and on.
Do you agree with the following? It's not good to only speak to people you agree with.
I don't know.
You don't know.
If they're right, it's fine.
Do you agree
you
with the following?
You keep pretending that there's parsing.
You can have
opinions.
Better confidence in your opinion about things if you speak to smart people who disagree with you than if you only speak to people who agree with you.
I can have confidence in my opinion by doing my homework and doing my research and trying to learn about the world around me.
Okay. Well,
Not by just listening.
I know when I come up with an opinion, I usually email out to all my liberal friends who I know will disagree with me, and I test it against them.
No, why don't you do some research on the opinion instead of going throwing out like to all my liberal friends? What does that mean? What, you know, justice is justice, truth is truth. Look it up for yourself.
What I'm saying is that I don't send it out to the people I know are inclined to agree with me. I'm not interested in, I know they're going to agree with me. I send it out. I have a lot of really smart friends who I know where they are on things. So I'll say, listen, this is what I was thinking about, and I'll send it to them. And sometimes, like sharpening a knife, and sometimes they will come back like, oh, you know what? I didn't think of that. We're not all infallible. There's logical mistakes we can make.
No kidding. But the thing, I'm not talking about opinions. Yeah. I'm talking about facts.
Okay.
So there are things. So if we're talking about Kavanaugh, or are you talking about just like, here's how I feel about this thing today?
I am saying that I don't think that this issue is so simple that even someone who wants to discuss it from different angles is just what are you, a jackass? It's clear. Everybody knows he's done.
But you're combining like 15 issues into an issue.
Okay. Well,
are we talking about Kavanaugh or are we talking about 17-year-olds?
We were using Kavanaugh as a springboard to talk about general principles.
By the way, you and I agreed. I said I'm comfortable with the 17-year-old thing.
There's some very important general principles that can be discussed using Kavanaugh as a springboard, and I think that's what we were trying to do.
I think actually it's not a good springboard because Kavanaugh, along with the Trump administration, is among the worst of us. It would actually be a more interesting springboard where there's a person who isn't the worst of us.
Who isn't entirely
I kind of like Joe Biden to be president next time, let's say. And if Joe Biden were running for office and now it came out that he has a kind of similar story when he was 17.
Oh, it would have been came out. Don't think for a second Republicans wouldn't have ripped him.
Of course they would have. Everybody will flip sides. Politicians are scum. But I'm saying I would say I don't think, you know what, it's Joe Biden. Whatever he did at 17 doesn't matter to me as a voter. That's what I would say.
Right, because he's tried to do good things after that.
I would have a lot more trouble saying that and feeling like I wasn't a hypocrite if I was saying it really. No, with Kavanaugh, I think it says everything about him. But all of a sudden, now with Biden, I think it's fine.
Here, this will be the last thing. Listen to me. Yes, it's not hypocritical. Okay. If that 17-year-old is not going on to do, Joe Biden has not spent his life being an asshole after the age of 17. He has not.
He's tried to be
a public service. I don't agree with that, but it's not like he's a public service, and he has kids who have actually served. He's one of the only politicians who supports wars and his own children serve.
You want to see a total meltdown? I just found that out today. You know who else has a daughter? A daughter who is serving in the armed forces going to Iraq? Steve Bannon.
Wow. Yeah, let's not say anything nice about Steve Bannon.
I know that's nice about him. It's nice about his daughter. But, I mean, I had no idea.
He has had no contact with his daughter since they were little children.
Is that true?
He actually was a horrible father. And after the divorce.
What a fucking liar he is, because the way he spoke about it.
She may well be in Iraq. I don't know that.
But the way
he
spoke about it, he's like, I know about raising empowered daughters. He actually said, I know about raising empowered daughters. My daughter is on a plane.
He was an absentee dad after the divorce. A very bitter divorce.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is if you're going to support these wars, I think if your kids go, I think that means something.
Absolutely.
Although Sarah Palin, whose son was in Iraq, she thought Saddam Hussein was behind it. You think the least you could do is figure out who was responsible for 9/11 if your own children are serving. But she got that wrong. So that's how interested she was. But anyway.
Want to end on a note of agreement? Because I agree with you 1,000% about that.
We don't have to end on a note of agreement, but it's fine if you do. But I disagree with you with the blanket statement for the 17-year-olds. I think when people make decisions that affect your life, it is a different standard. But I do agree that 17-year-olds are children, and they shouldn't be punished for the rest of their life for what they do unless they are assholes for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
Janine, you can go. I just have another thing to. You don't have to stay for the whole thing if you don't wish to.
When is she going on?
Do I have to now? Because
no,
I'm
no. If you
on.
Don't, if you don't want to, it's we're
I
trying
like
to.
I'm gonna hit the underground.
Whatever you want, Janine. We're just thrilled to have you here.
Your listeners might hate it.
The listeners are gonna love. This is gonna. The listeners love a good Donnybrook.
Yeah, that was great.
All right. Well, if you don't want to go on tonight, then let the.
I feel like now I'm gonna bomb.
You're not gonna bomb.
I feel like it's just
use that. Channel that anger.
I can't now.
Okay. Well, whatever you want. All right. Well,
I guess I'll take her spot.
Well, Chrissy. I hope you enjoyed the experience. You know, you probably didn't speak as much as you might have thought you would.
It's okay. It's okay. You know, I'm better with fluffier topics. You know.
I feel bad that she got mad.
Some people have their things that
she was not easy. No question about that. I happen to be fond of her, but I felt that she was a little difficult.
I adore her. Like, I love the way she took down Bill O'Reilly back in the day. I always liked her. But I do think it's not off limits to discuss philosophically the issues of the day and try to... What's that, Steve? Oh, email podcast@comedyseller.com. So I guess
Chrissy. So
if you want a nude, send
yes,
50 bucks
yes,
to.
Yes, very tasteful.
So Chrissy, what did you think about what Janine and me and Noam said about the $50? Are you inclined to either give it back or give it to charity? So, Janine suggested that was
not
her suggestion.
It back.
Everyone was very harsh on me. I felt very bad.
I don't think we were harsh on you. I think we're giving you our opinions.
Right.
And
I think it was funny. I don't know.
Well,
we all
agree that it was funny.
It was definitely
so
funny.
So we all agree that it was funny.
I'm sure. Yeah, I could.
You should give it.
I could give this guy's money back. I feel bad, but I think he was
actually
being stupid. And
first,
like,
you need to find out if he's pro-choice or not. Because if he's not pro-choice, according to the Garofalo rule, you don't have to give it back.
True.
But did you find that question?
Why you make a face?
See, when I heard about the incident, and you told me that you didn't tell me, but I read on Facebook that this gentleman asked you for a nude pic. I didn't think of it as that outrageous. Now, and then women friends of mine have told me, no, you don't understand. Women
it's common.
Go through this all the time, and it's so horrifying to be constantly asked for nudes or to talk dirty or this and that.
Yeah, I think that what I did was proportional to how, like, outrageous that kind of that ask was for him. You know?
He's a dick. You know why?
Yeah.
He should have been like, she got me. Fair enough.
Yeah,
you got me.
Oh, you got me. Like, and I was like, you know what? Also, it's kind of like gambling. I was just like, send me whatever you can send me.
But is it possible that he's very awkward and...
True.
And
possible.
He's just... First of all, we all want nude pictures of beautiful women. So we all want that. Now, most of us don't have the audacity to ask it of somebody that we don't even know.
The audacity of hope.
I'm like, at least come to a show first.
Could he have just been somebody that's clueless, that for whatever reason thought you might be interested in doing such a thing, and I don't know why he would have thought that, but maybe he thought
that. It's possible, yeah.
And, or he was just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta
try.
I gotta ask one last question. Is there a way he could have parlayed this into a date with you? Like, you know what? You got me. That's one of the great. Come on. You got my $50. More power to you. But come on, meet me for a drink.
I mean, I wouldn't meet him for a drink because I currently have
coffee.
A boyfriend. But I would a friend date or like a hey, let's hang out or like hey, come to a show. I would meet the person.
Yeah.
I'll probably be kind and give him the money back because, you know, I'm not here to, like, be, mean to anybody. I just thought it was, like, who pays for news? There's so much.
Or send him a nude.
Well, I will tell you, Chrissy Mayer, that's a good question. I think that's a good question worth investigating or discussing.
We got to
wrap
it up.
Who would pay
then
for a nude? I know. I just want to get this last point out.
Okay.
There's plenty of nudes available on the internet. But when it's somebody that's not a porn actress or normally a person, just somebody, a regular girl that you know or are a fan of, it is 900 times hotter.
It's better. Oh.
5 billion times hotter. I've had in my life on a couple of occasions, rarely enough, regular girls that have offered to have sex with me for money. These are not prostitutes. These are not sex workers. They are young ladies who wanted to make some extra cash and asked me. And I thought it was the hottest thing in the world.
Yeah, I can
see it.
That's
very flattering. I'd be willing to pay a premium. Well, not that it's flattering. It's just when a regular girl that's not a porn actress or a nude model sends you a nude picture for money, that to me is extremely enticing. And so that is why a man might be willing to pay money, even in a world where everything, where we can get porno on tap,
24/7. I get it now.
It's so hot to pay a woman that's not normal, doesn't normally do that.
Yeah.
For a nude photo. And so that I'm explaining his psychology.
Sign off, Dan.
Okay, Chrissy Mayer, I apologize that you didn't speak as much as me.
If you guys, can I plug a show?
Yeah, go ahead.
Tomorrow I will be at Westside Comedy Club doing the show called Broads and Babes. I'm hosting it with Samantha Bednarz. Joyelle Johnson will be on it. Corinne Fisher, Marie Faustin. It's going to be an awesome show. Come out tomorrow at 8 o'clock.
Joyelle and Corinne Fisher are both alumni of our podcast, by the way.
Oh, good.
And her weekly show at Stonewall is...
it's monthly. It's every first Saturday
of the month.
Is it gay themed?
Because Stonewall's a gay
club? Yeah, it's LGBT and adjacent.
Are you... would you qualify yourself as a fag hag?
I would... yes. I love gay men. I'm a big fan. Yeah. I'm also a non-practicing bisexual currently.
Well, I'm sure Noam would have loved to have investigated that further, but we do have to go.
Okay. Come again.
Let's wrap it up.
Okay.
But we'd love to.
Noam has officially invited you to come back to discuss your bisexuality, and I have no problem with that. Okay. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next time.
Good night.